And good morning, this is Pastor Stoltz, and welcome to our Sunday worship. The scripture readings for this morning are as follows. Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 7. First Peter 1, verses 1 and 2. Matthew 6, 24 to 34, and the closing hymn, 252. And also just a reminder that beginning in October, we will be going back to having Sunday worship in both congregations as we did before. 8:30 at Zion, 10:30 at Emmanuel. And let us begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart, and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for thy refuge with thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us. And for his sake, grant us remission of all our sins. And by thy Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word. To the end that by thy grace, we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given us his only Son to die for us. And for his sake forgives us all of our sins. To them that believe on his name he gives power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee. We glorify thee, we give thanks unto thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, Heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord. Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you, and let us pray. O Lord, we beseech thee, let thy continual pity cleanse and defend thy church. And because it cannot continue in safety without your help, preserve it forever by thy help and goodness. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. And we confess our faith according to the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. This morning's Old Testament, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when you're sitting in your house, or when you're walking by the way, or when you're lying down, and when you riseth up. So far. This morning's epistle, which is the basis for my sermon, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Holy Spirit, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. So far. This morning's Gospel, Matthew chapter 6, 24 to 34. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the earth, the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So far. Greetings to you in the name of the Triune God, of the Trinity. That's the theme, the substance of this morning's sermon. For we once again remind ourselves that all spiritual blessings come to us as gifts of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. As great as this greeting is, it is nevertheless meant only for a select group of people. Not everyone understands it. Not everyone is interested in it. It's interesting to note that Peter here announces this great greeting to the strangers scattered. But this greeting is also intended for us who are also the strangers who are scattered. And to those who are truly strangers, this greeting in the name of the Holy Trinity will have a real meaning, because every Christian is a foreigner to this present world. Scripture clearly says, "Here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come." And to those who are truly strangers, this greeting in the name of the Holy Trinity will have real meaning. The Christian who feels perfectly at home in this world, who is content and satisfied to live here forever, is hardly interested in this morning's greeting in the name of our great God. They're like the man in Christ's parable whose barns were too small for his bumper crops. He tore them down to make room for bigger and better barns. And when he was finished, he said to his soul, "Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." Because he was so exclusively a citizen of this earth, he lost his soul in hell that night. There was no room in this man's life for the triune God. Yes, this Sunday, like all other Sundays, is only for those whose heart is set on God and whose goal is eternal fellowship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. If our heart is where our treasure is, and if our treasure is the triune God and all his blessings, then we belong to the many children of God who are scattered here and there, small groups, large groups, over the entire earth, people who are in the world but not of the world, children of the Heavenly Father, who, because God is in us, are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and whose hearts are yearning for heaven, where we hold eternal citizenship. And because we are such people, greetings to you in the name of the Holy Trinity. Yes, this Sunday's greeting has real meaning for us, because only the triune God can make us fellow citizens with the saints and with the household of God. What exactly is Peter telling us about our relationship to the first person, God the Father, and his relationship to us? Well, Peter calls every believer one of the elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. We are today what we are as Christians, not because of some special merit or some deserving quality of our own. For we are told in Scripture, "There's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. No. Nothing depends upon us. Nothing that we have done or how we feel will gain us salvation. It is all God's doing. Out of the free and unmerited grace, God the Father, in eternity, before there was a world, made us the special object of his love. He set his mind on us, predestinated us, elected us, according to the good pleasure of his will, that we should be his people. Everything the triune God has done for you and me is the result of God's eternal decree of election. The phrase of our text, "elect according to the foreknowledge of God," brings us comfort. Why? Because we know that our election is founded in God's eternal counsel and will. We can have the assurance that our redemption through Jesus Christ is sure, and that no one will ever take us out of his hand. Unfortunately, this great doctrine of eternal election has been distorted. And instead of finding great comfort in this doctrine, there has been endless confusion and bitter strife. If you are ready to take God at his word, and through faith believe his promise to us, that he has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, then greetings to you in the name of the Holy Trinity. You know, the one constant temptation that the devil is throwing at us is the temptation of doubt. How can I know that I'm personally one of the elect of God? What evidence is there that I am one of the chosen? Well, Peter here removes all doubt in the very significant phrase, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. The moment that man fell into sin, the promise was given for a Savior. A promise was given for salvation. God sent His Holy Spirit into the lives of people to create this promised faith, to sanctify them, to make them holy through this faith in the promised Messiah. And we're no different. They look forward to the cross. We look back to the cross. The forgiveness, redemption, and salvation are exactly the same. And the good news is that this sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit has been going on ceaselessly since the beginning of time. This Spirit of God was at work at Pentecost, making believers out of such people who had helped crucify the Lord of glory 52 days earlier. He is at work every time we administer the sacrament of holy baptism. If only we would always realize what tremendous things are happening here in this church, in the soul of the person, when it is washed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And when in worship we come to the altar to receive the body and blood of Christ in the Lord's Supper, the Spirit's sanctifying power is being made available to us. We would not be what we are, Christians, without this sanctifying Spirit in our life. And as Peter says, this faith is wrought through the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. What does this mean? Well, through the shedding of Christ's blood on that cross, all the guilt, all the sin has been removed. The ultimate purpose of God's election and the Spirit's work of sanctification in us is to make us believers in Jesus Christ and to cleanse us from all guilt by His atoning blood. If we believe that Jesus Christ is our Savior, that He had made us righteous and acceptable to our Father in heaven, then believe this morning's greeting in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost with deep gratitude. The triune God's purpose has been accomplished in us. What more could we want? And that's why Peter concludes his doxology with these words, "Grace unto you and peace be multiplied." These are truly worthwhile things to live for from day to day, that the Father planned back in eternity. Not bubbles that burst, not a life built on sand, no disillusions. No, the things that God gives us, such as forgiveness, redemption, sanctification, and salvation, are ours the moment we are cleansed by faith in Christ. That's our treasure. So once again, my dear Christian friends, greetings to you in the name of the Holy Trinity. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, unto thy church, thy Holy Spirit, and the wisdom which comes down from above, that thy word, as becometh it, may not be bound, but have free course, and be preached to the joy and edification of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve thee, and in the confession of thy name abide unto the very end. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and to be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.